Well, I mean, I think you need to reframe the game. You know,
yeah, what is the game?
Dominoes isn't the game.
Yeah, that's
it. Getting laid is the game.
Yeah. And keeping your keeping your wife off your ass. That's the game. You know, well, I don't want to get all Sun Tzu on you, buddy, but you know, like, you know, there's the victory.
Winning dominoes is not the most important.
There's victory, then there's the appearance of victory. You know, you're gonna concede a little bit of ground while you outflank your opponent and surprise them. You know. So.
This person's a very linear thinker, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in that cozy cabin, friends all around a game of dominoes. We were laughing, drinking, having a good time until I played that fun show. I won the game, but lost it all. That victory broke my downfall. Friends turned foes, and the love I had turned to anger. Now life's so sad. I won the game, but lost my way. Now I'm paying for that fateful day. She was smiling till I stood up cheering, raised my arms, thought I'd struck gold. But her eyes turned cold and the room went silent. Now my story's getting told. I won the game, but lost it all. That victory brought my downfall. Friends turned foes, and the love I had turned to anger. Now life's so sad. I won the game, but lost my way. Now I'm paying for that fateful day.
Welcome to Bad Counsel, where Greg, Tim, Katie, Bert, and Mike freely give advice to their listeners' questions. Now let's be clear. These five are in no way qualified to give any advice. So, take it or leave it. Consider that your disclaimer. Now, on with the show.
Now I'm paying for that fateful day. So if you're playing dominoes with friends tonight, remember my tale of woe. Sometimes it's better to lose and keep your love than to win and watch it go.
Does Tammy not listen anymore?
Tammy's never listened. She listened for like a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's throughout the whole marriage, Tim, though, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's on brand for Tammy. Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Never listen, Jesus fuck. Yeah.
Does she like tell her friends that you do this, Tim, do you think?
Anyone she's close to.
In whispers.
Tim has a podcast.
But I'm sure she says it's something like, oh yeah, Tim has a little podcast that he does with his friends and
just goofing around.
He goes, locks himself around the room, you hear him laughing for a few hours. I love it. It keeps him busy.
That's probably what it's like.
I can work on my murder plots. Right.
Every week she asks, oh, you have questions? And I'm like, yeah, we have questions. Oh, what are they? And I never tell her because I'm just like, fuck you.
It's bad
you
don't, luck, man. It's total bad luck.
Yeah. Like, you don't fucking listen.
Yeah, you want to find out the questions? I listen.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. I say the same exact thing to Stacey. I said, you could listen with me. We're in the same house.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. It's not everybody's bag. I
might
get
be
it.
A nice bonding opportunity.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maybe.
She'd we probably, try.
If she was
just don't
on,
see it.
She'd probably listen, but
yeah,
I guess
well,
she's...
We need to get the 25-milligram pyramid organized the next game show.
Oh, my God. I probably had 25 milligrams today over the course of the day. So we just walked in the door from this river float. We did.
You have your Nicorette, right? You have your Nicorette?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. My Nicorette's saving my life right now. But the it's like 95 degrees here. We got in the... Ooh. We did like a river float down the Potomac with some local friends of ours, and it was super fun. It was a great day, but man, like, first of all, we're eating edibles all day and like just 5 hours in the sun in 95 degree weather. Like it was a blast. I had a blast, but man, I'm dragging ass now.
I bet. You know, I actually spent the weekend.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say I spent the weekend up in Maine at a friend's house on the lake, and I'm not a sun person, and I spent a lot of time in the sun this weekend, so I'm dragging ass myself.
Takes a lot out of you, man.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that article on Instagram. There was the race of old timey bicycles in Burt's Town.
The high wheel race. Yeah.
Like, and I was like, Burt's on, if not in that race, he's watching it, you know, but I was
I didn't.
A little disappointed to know you didn't go to that. Why? You don't approve of those old timey bicycles?
No, it's cool. Look, I mean, look, it's a big deal here, right? They shut down downtown. They get tons of, they get a ton of people out watching it. It's really great for all the local businesses and all that stuff. But I'm not going to stand around in a 95 degree day outside and watch a high wheel race, right? And it is a little bit dorky. Like the guys, the guys are racing in like I said I wasn't joking when I said there's dudes out there like riding in tweed jackets and like wax mustaches and shit like that. And I'm just like, okay, guys, like
that's awesome.
Like trying to do some 1895 like high wheel period. Garb, you know what I mean?
So this is like when Dungeons & Dragons players throw shade on Magic the Gathering.
Yes,
people.
Yes, right. That's exactly what I was going to say, Greg. It was like,
it's kind of dorky.
Yeah, that's awesome. Remember, like, those Magic the Gathering dorks? Yeah. Fuck those guys.
The real dorks.
There's like dork levels, right? It's like a caste system. And just hearing Bert just like talk down.
I'm not
on
talking
these,
down. If they're into that shit, man, that's cool, right?
You were totally talking down.
Yeah, I've seen it before. It's cool to see once. I'm not going downtown to stand around in 95 degrees.
They wear top hats and long jackets instead of, you know, my loofah that I like to wear, my chamois.
It's the chamois.
They wax their mustaches.
What is in your brain that connects those two words?
Chamois and loofah. They're both shower props.
I get it. Like the
Just get mixed up.
Have different uniforms, cool. Bert. That's all. Yeah. That's, you know, it's like it's like a caste system, right? But it's a nerd caste system.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know,
so true.
It's like
Greg
fantasy football players are cooler than fantasy baseball players.
Yeah. Greg was making jokes about me being in like band camp, and I was like, I was not in band. I was in orchestra.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Bert and I were in cross country camp, which is which is, you know, it's, I mean, that gets your ass kicked by football players, but as compared to orchestra camp, we can push the orchestra camp kids around, no problem with that.
Right.
Were you playing contrabassoon? Get over here.
I think Bert even said that, you know, it's akin to LARPing, and that's at that point I was like, all I saw was a skinny little kid in a wooden sword with a cape, you know, like there was clear there was clear looking down your nose at these guys for sure.
Well, I mean, like the period garb is a little over the top, man. Like it really is, you know. I just that's what does it for me, right?
I have to imagine my old employee Howard, who I've talked about, you know, when I had the school in Northern Virginia, who dressed every day like he was in Gangs of New York. Like he wore the tight pants and the top hat and listened to Al Jolson CDs at his desk. Like he was living that. I mean, he was a terrible employee too. I mean, which, you know, it's not like he was good at his job. He was terrible at it, but like he really, aside from driving an automobile, although he did drive like a Mini Cooper with a big British flag stenciled on the roof of it.
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, he dressed in like waistcoats and top hats. And on shorts day, he wore like, I don't know, like pantaloons is the closest thing I could call them. But have you ever ridden one of those really high wheeled bicycles?
No, they're fucking dangerous, man. I mean,
that'd be fun to see them all wreck. You know?
I would not want to see this fucking desert. I mean, they've got like, yeah, they're going as fast as a regular road bike because the wheels are so big, right? I mean, that's why they built them that way. It's the only way you could go that fast. You have the physical power to go that fast on a bike, but you got to have a wheel that's big, right? And the whole drivetrain with gears is why you don't have to have a wheel that big now to go that fast on a bike, right? But those fucking things are dangerous. Like, they're going 25 and 30 miles an hour, right?
It's scary watching them go through the turns.
Yeah, fucking, they can get mean as fucking things, right? Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
That's fucking fun.
I would want to see that motherfucker biff one of those, man.
Exactly. So it's almost like an extreme sport, really, you know, with those waxed. Yeah. And they don't wear helmets because that wouldn't be period appropriate.
Well, I think
they
make them wear helmets, right? But you got to fuck it. You don't wear a helmet doing that. You're making a bad decision in my book.
And they all have syphilis, just like they did back in the time.
Right. Yes.
Exactly. Right. Untreated.
Right. And rotten teeth. Yes. Yeah. It's like, I mean, at the time that they were racing those bikes for real, I mean, there were people dying on football fields all the time, right?
Right.
That was just, sports were brutal. We talk about sports in the 70s and 80s. I mean, imagine the sports in the teens and the tens of the 1900s. The teens and the tens. Yeah, teens and tens. Okay. I thought I was saying the same thing.
I mean, you know the history of baseball and all the motherfuckers. That, like, what the
bare-handed
hell?
Bare-handed. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, why can't I remember his name? Ty Cobb. I mean, he supposedly pistol whipped some dude to death, didn't he?
There's a lot. I don't know. I'm kind of revising my Ty Cobb legend. So I'm I can't answer that question at this point. I think
this is such such a meta episode. Like we're making fun of Brian, or I'm sorry, right, making fun of Bert's level of nerdiness in the cycling community.
And I'm trying to turn around on you with Rick in baseball.
Yeah, well done. And Tim says very earnestly, just a few minutes later, like, I don't know, I'm kind of revising my philosophy of Ty Cobb.
Like, but cool. I am a nerd. I've been a nerd forever. So, you know, I've never been cool. I've never even understood.
It's easy to nerd out about the stuff you're into, right?
I mean, right.
No. Exactly. But he's a product of his environment, Tim. Is that what you're thinking with Ty? Not, don't be so harsh on him. Lots of guys pistol whip their enemies.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot about baseball in the early 1900s, and I'm finding out that, you know, there was a lot of shit said about Ty Cobb that wasn't true, but we still say it's true. Like he's been labeled a racist forever, right? Ty Cobb, have you heard that? Yeah. But it's been proven that you know, the stuff that they say he said, he never said. He wasn't a racist, at least that anybody could see or document.
To judge racism by current standards based upon people who lived in a completely different era, it's, you know, was Mark Twain a racist? You know, I mean, it's hard to compare
for his time. Like, yeah. I guess for his time, like, I guess, you know, right, to be labeled that.
Oh, yeah, he was, definitely, absolutely.
Well, everybody was at that
point. Everybody was, right?
Yeah, exactly. If that's what you're saying, yeah. But I don't know, one of the things I really wish I was is I wish I was nerdy about one thing and one thing only. But I was so deep into it that I would be interesting just because it was so... I was so into it, but
do you
like
a role model in mind, like somebody you know or somebody famous who's like singularly just, like an expert on this, and it makes
just anybody
really
like you know I don't know
Marv.
He's it's a podcast, right, Katie? There, like, he's just so into podcasts.
He's a podcast nerd.
Yeah, nice one, Katie. Now you're having Tim aspire to be Marv,
like Dan Carlin. Oh, God. Dan Carlin in history, like, you know, Dan Carlin is somebody. I don't know if you know who Dan Carlin is, but he's gonna podcast. No. Okay, well,
nerd.
He does like these 4 to 8 hour podcasts on periods in history, primarily classical. History, but he does all the way up through, you know, World War II.
Yeah,
anyway,
sounds good.
Yeah, but he's got a following that is so committed because they go, he can go deep. So,
Tim, if you were given like a special, I don't know, commission or like an academic charge where you could like a, what do they call those things? You win a grant,
like a grant.
Yeah, so you have a 3-year grant. And you can study, you have to study something. You know, it's a good financial situation. You know, makes financial sense for your family, but you have to study something and produce some, like, you know, academic thought on something. But you can do anything you want. Is there something that you kind of like, this would be my thing?
That's the problem. There's probably 5 different things. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a MacArthur grant for $1 million, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you could produce something in 3 years. It would be pure hell for me because I would go one way and then I would like get bored of that and go somewhere else and then go like I would never. I don't have the discipline to go all the way down the route.
Well, maybe you don't end up going all the way down. Maybe you start doing something and you find out an interesting side, you know, about
right.
It reveals other things that are interesting about that particular subject that you end up researching something that was tangential to what you originally started, but is actually more interesting, right?
Right. Yeah. But I just don't believe I have.
Well, shame
that.
On me for even asking that question. I should know better than to ask Tim to, you know, give a hypothetical answer.
All right. Like,
some level of certainty. Like, you know, I forgot.
Can't.
This is the guy who couldn't choose between lemonade and iced tea. If his life depended on which one, I couldn't choose. I like them both equally. I don't know. I couldn't choose.
What about Arnold Palmer?
Arnold Palmer.
That's the problem. I wish I was more like Bert, with I so respect the fact that you are so into bike racing, right? That you know so much. There's we probably haven't even scratched a part of what you a part
yeah,
of.
Yeah, but
part
I mean, there's dudes I know that know way more about bike racing than I do, right? I mean, right. I know about it to the extent that I know bike racing the way someone who played baseball all their life knows baseball. You know what I mean? That's how I know bike racing, right?
Right.
The, but not. On a practical level, not like I've studied it to the nth degree kind of thing, right?
But of all the people in this podcast,
I know more about it, right? Yeah.
I know a tricycle has three wheels.
That's yeah. true.
So, but great. Think about the guys on the Rush podcast, right? That you went on, right?
Yeah.
And,
right.
And you were like, oh my God, like they are like, don't you wish that you had, like you just love something so much? That you would...
No, I've never found myself, I like being kind of like, I mean.
A generalist?
Yeah, like yeah, I was going to say a Renaissance man. That's a little bit.
A generalist.
but I mean, I like having law. I mean, I feel like I have interests. I've, like you said, Tim, I have half a dozen interests that are beyond normal levels of interest in something, right. But not like obsessive. But I think people like as much as I love Rush, like the guys on that podcast, they would be insufferable to be around. You know what I mean? Because everything would somehow lead back to a discussion of Rush.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's terrible. Like I like sports. I like music. I like lots of, you know, a small like related group of nerdy things, you know, but not so much that I can't pivot. If I have a music hater, I'm not going to try to talk about.
Although
you know,
many of our conversations go back to Seinfeld because Greg is.
Well, they do.
That
but I don't sit there and yeah, that would probably be my one thing. Like, if I
Seinfeld
for
is so period for us though. Yeah, you know what I mean? Uh-huh.
But yeah. Like, I find a lot of analogies, but I let them go pretty quickly. I don't look for them. They just appear in my mind. You know,
you came out there.
Yeah. Like we have a friend, we call him Pseudo Scout because that's like his wet dream is to be a scout in baseball. And he, you know, but he his whole life is like
he Greg, really is singularly obsessed with baseball. Like, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going to Cactus League games. Yeah, it's like,
oh wow.
Oh, it's my annual trip to Winter Baseball League in Scottsdale. It's like, and he's this kid's got a fiance, you know,
sends
like,
pictures.
He must be, hey man, saint. You know,
I think AHL hockey is cool, man. I think going to AHL hockey game. Like, I'm not gonna obsess over like the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, but I've had a really good time going to like minor league games, right?
And, yeah, you're normal.
I can see how people can get into that.
Yeah,
shit,
and that's
right?
Normal though. And here's why it's normal, because I've known you for 40 years or so, and I never really knew. It doesn't surprise me that you find AHL hockey, you know, fun and interesting, but I didn't know it. Like, you couldn't know this kid Justin for more than 2 weeks without knowing that baseball was his religion. You know, it really is his thing in life, man. His whole year is planned around baseball.
He's literally right. Every story he's got. But then he's got this weird kind of Guar obsession as well. So that's well. It is.
And then did you say Guar?
Guar. Yeah. And then the like he really likes not the Muppets, Sesame Street, Big Bird. He's a big fan of Big Bird.
Oh my
but we've
God.
Just
this guy sounds like a piece of work, man.
Yeah, but that's it. Oh, and he's a drug dealer. But all of that
is like, he? Wrapped, that's cool.
Yeah,
like a legitimate drug dealer though. Yeah. Like he's
he works for cannabis.
He's a drug salesman.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, good.
He's
friend.
An accountant, actually. Mm-hmm. So he's
So he's hiding money.
But everything.
Justin's a perfect example. I love Justin, but but I can't spend much time with Justin.
That sounds like an interesting fucking dude. You know what I mean?
Well, he is, but in the right amounts. You know what I mean?
It's so
during baseball season, he's great. But it's like, hey, dude, like he'll send me baseball questions in February or in December, and I'm like, Justin, I'm not even fucking thinking about baseball, baby. You know what I mean? It's football season. You know, I'm
hockey season,
thinking about thinking about baseball right now. Well, this is the time of year when, you know, the college players, they attend a workshop in Cape Cod, and, you know, and it's kind of their first opportunity to transition to wooden bats. And so I like to read about it. It's like, oh, Justin, dude, kill me.
So the guy who, there's a guy who owned a nightclub in Lancaster, right? It was called the Chameleon Club. And he grew up, he was a pretty good cyclist, and he raced with Le Mans when he was a junior, right? But he wasn't good enough to go pro. But he started a nightclub in Lancaster, and it was a really cool place for about 15 years, right? And they booked a lot. It was like a 1500 person hall. They booked a bunch of bands and shit like that all the time. It was a good little music venue, but they had Gwar play once when they were like up and coming. Nice. Right? And it's Lancaster, right? So it's really super religious. So freaking Gwar comes out with this like total like heavy metal sex theme. You know what Gwar is?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it was a major controversy in Lancaster, right? It ended up being like in the papers, awesome. Like and like because there was a morning paper that was like this is in the 90s, right? That was like the Democrat rag and the evening paper that was a Republican rag, right? And there was like for 2 weeks there was nothing but these crazy letters to the editor from all these like local freaking Mennonites and shit like that about Gwar playing the chameleon and like what a spectacle. And that's not really
fortunately the Amish didn't seem to mind at all. In fact, it's as if they hadn't even read the newspapers or watched television.
Do you remember that
vaguely?
Yeah. So
yeah. Gwar.
Yeah.
So do you
guys have similar wishes to Tim? Like I like being more of a generalist, but maybe I would study science. I don't think I would study. Somebody said, Greg, you got 3 years to study something. I would study something that I'm interested in, but I don't know a lot about. You know, I wouldn't necessarily pick something I already know a decent amount about. I might pick some sort of historical era, like Russian history or some shit that I'm
casually interested in. That I feel like I could do it justice to evaluate. You know what I mean? Like to research.
Well, it's not even about, you know, in this hypothetical, it's not even about doing it justice. It's just about something that for some bizarre reason, you're going to be in the fortunate position to be able to financially benefit from spending 3 years studying something that interests you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it would be.
Well, I mean, think about like Watergate, right? Like you Watergate, right?
One. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, but then you think about like alternative music from the 80s and 90s, right?
Yeah.
Like that's super fascinating, right? Baseball from, you know, wherever. It's just, I don't know. I have a lot of respect for people that can specialize. Like Goose with anything anal. Like he is mm-hmm. all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Who knows it better than me?
Anything anal, all anal.
Anything anal, all anal.
Anything, yes. DC's got a lot of strap-ons. We have some fun.
Don't use those with the silicone-based lube. They'll deteriorate.
You are an expert.
She won't use lube on me.
Oh my
she says
God.
I don't deserve it.
Wow, that's mean. Heartless.
She is.
So, dude, everybody died this week.
Yeah, there's like a lot of celebrity person, right? deaths. Yeah, fourth. And you know what? You didn't even suspect. Somebody young, relatively speaking.
Sharon Doherty?
Yeah.
Yeah. She had cancer, didn't she?
Yeah, she had cancer. She's our age, 53, man.
Yeah,
terrible. Really sad.
It's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Ruth. I see. Part of these celebrity predictions, it's tough. It's like, you know, I didn't even know Dr. Ruth was still alive.
Yeah.
If you had asked me the other day, like, how, I mean, I wouldn't have said it's categorically that she's dead, but yeah. I was probably on the surprised end of the spectrum that she was still alive to begin with, just because she seemed really old.
Yeah.
50 years ago. You know
right.
What I mean?
Way back
in the 80s. She seemed, yeah. She seemed like a
But she was probably only in her late 40s when we were in high school, and but she seemed like she was in her 70s.
She's like a Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
She's like, yeah, right.
Shelley Duvall, I had a soft spot in my heart for Shelley Duvall. I liked her in The Shining and Annie.
The Shining,
Hall.
Oh, she was great. She was like the freaked out mom. Yeah. Like, yeah. Who could better? That was a classic role for her.
Oh, yeah. Well, I liked her. She had a little bit part in Annie Hall, too, that I liked. She played a kind of a vacuous model that Woody Allen was dating. I thought she was good.
For some reason, she was cast in Popeye as olive oil.
Yeah, I know. I didn't get that. Yeah, that was a weird movie.
Well, that was pretty strange.
Well, Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
I like Richard.
He was number four.
Yeah. He seemed like
so
a
sad.
Guy.
Yeah, he does seem like a little, yeah.
There was an 8-part podcast, Searching for Richard, where it basically talked about when he went off the grid. For several years, and this guy tried to hunt him down, and then actually eventually
they called it Searching for Richard when they could have called it Looking for Dick. I missed an opportunity there.
Searching for Richard. I mean, that is the joke.
Goose, that was good. That was a good one.
Yeah, why leave him alone? I heard that he died, like, you know, he had very few friends. And
yeah.
Howard Stern used to hassle the shit out of that dude.
Well, they were friends at first. And, you know, and then, you know, Richard was just very sensitive. He's one of those people who couldn't take a joke. You know?
That's a tough bro to hoe.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, sad times.
Yes.
But we're all ourselves. I wasn't prepared, so just keep talking.
Are you going to talk about your brush with celebrity, Greg?
Well, I mean, you know, we never delve into politics on this podcast.
Well, it's current events.
It's current events. You know, the assassination attempt on former President Trump was not far from where Bert and I grew up and went to high school. I mean, it was a neighboring high school. It's probably
35-minute drive.
Yeah, about 10 miles north of our community where we grew up, right up.
Yeah, a little further than that. Probably, I used to ride my bike up there. It's probably 25 miles to Butler, PA.
Okay. So, you know, Brett Michaels, most famous son from Butler. The person they identified allegedly as the shooter, he had a name that rang a bell. Somebody I thought maybe sounded like somebody I went to high school with, but this kid was young. So we looked him up, and his father was named the same name as some kid who went to high school with Bert and I, and actually was sat next to me in homeroom for several years because our names were alphabetically right next to one another. So pretty sure, you know, based on a little bit of online creeping,
spelunking.
Yeah, that it's his son, the kid who went to,
looks
to
like him.
Went to high school with Bert and I. Pretty weird.
Wow, crazy. Yeah. And you notice they're referring to him as three names.
I remember. Yeah, I know. Katie said that too. Katie was the first thing she said. He's like, man, like presidential assassins always have three
always
names.
Always get three names.
Yeah.
Always give the middle name.
Yeah, it is weird.
Don't know why.
So, Katie and I have been high all weekend. We've just basically laid in bed all weekend. Like yesterday, we got up to 80 milligrams of weed.
Oh my God, really?
Nice. Yep.
That's why when you said 25, we both chuckled.
Yeah.
If I had 80 milligrams, I would lay in bed and my ceiling could cave in and I wouldn't rig and do anything about it. I'd be just like, what?
We were watching Planet of the Apes, that new Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
You kind of need 80 milligrams for that.
It was silly. Like, you know, when did the narrative shift to the apes? Like, they're the stars of the show. Like, and it's, I don't know, there's something that doesn't quite, I couldn't care less about any of those apes if they died, you know?
Did it freak you out
about
a little
bit? Nice ones?
Nah, I mean, the nice ones, it's like, yeah, okay, that's a nice monkey, but I don't really care that much about it, you know? I certainly didn't want to see them, I wasn't concerned about their fates. I wanted the humans to win, you know? Unequivocally.
Yeah, the humans had already lost.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Boy, Tim just stormed off again.
What the hell?
Another fucking emergency.
I hope not. I bet
he has to burn down. He's to turn the oven vent on. Tammy and the kids, they can't remember to turn that oven vent on.
Damn it.
Josh, Tim's crazy. He hates the smell of toast.
Look at that plant in the back of, behind Tim. It looks
are
so
those
nice.
Bar stools?
Oh, by the window, yeah. They are bar stools. What's going on with that?
Nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Looks like Tim's built himself a little man cave there.
Yeah, he's got some base. Is that Ty Cobb on the wall? Who is that?
I don't know.
It's a baseball player.
I bet it's Ty Cobb.
Oh, man.
Still has his earpieces in. He's rushing back.
These fuckers are talking about him. He's going to cut all this
back.
Shit anyway.
I got to get back.
Oh, well. Did Erica call anybody this week? I guess Tim's going to let us know.
Yeah.
No.
I thought Erica used to reach out to you, Greg.
She does sometimes. You know, yeah. If I mention it every time she did it, it would be pretty frequent. I only tend to mention it when it's interesting, so not very
she pings
often.
Me every once. She doesn't ping me in a while. Every once in a while.
Yeah.
Every so often, I'll get a real scent from her. Or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Tim, what happened? Did somebody forget to turn the oven fan on? You had to dash off into the kitchen.
No, I've just, I'm running behind, so I had to get my soda water.
Oh, okay.
And have my Zin my Bert-inspired nicotine.
We know how much Tim's loving the work of his creative talent on the air when he gets up in the middle of our conversation to go get some soda water.
Dude,
yeah, I love
nicotine is a great drug. I think it's a I'm really a fan of like my nicotine habit.
That's nice.
Bert, yeah. Could you rate your top five favorite drugs for us?
My top five favorite drugs. Okay.
Top three. What
number one is MDMA. It's a blast, right? You can't do it all the time. I've done this before, right?
We need better drugs.
I don't think so.
I'm a fan of all the drugs I do. Like I like Adderall in the right context, right? I really like weed in the right context, right?
Fan of all my drugs.
I do like ketamine, but again, you can't do that too often, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you do it judiciously in the right forums, it's fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And drugs are just tools, man, right? You just gotta treat them with respect and freaking don't be an idiot about them, and you can have fun with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. How many did you mention there?
Four.
Maybe that's five. Four or five.
Yeah, I never. I don't, maybe I'll do mushrooms again. I never need to do acid again.
What about alcohol? Where does that fit on your?
Man, you know, alcohol's. You know. Two drinks, there's nothing, there's no other, like, yeah, it's, I like it, I hate hangovers.
Yeah, me
there's
too.
Something about alcohol that, like, no other drug triggers a reward response in my brain, where, like, if I have two drinks, I really fucking want another one, and it takes a force of will not to have that third drink, right? But I know if I have drinks three and four, I'd be hungover the next day, so I've learned to, like, fucking just say no, you know, I'm not gonna have them.
Smart.
Right?
Yeah.
Nancy would
like
be proud.
It too. I like taking like a little bit of alcohol to enhance the high, you know, a couple of glasses of champagne, maybe a shot of tequila and a beer. You know,
yeah. Like when we go to the pool, like
the high.
Yeah. I'll have a fiver and I'll have like two shots of tequila before we walk up and go lay in the sun. You know what I mean? And that's cool. You know?
Yeah.
And then I'll come home and, you know, whatever, have a cup of coffee.
And then top it off with a 2.5.
2.5. I'll snort that.
Have some coffee.
Right. Drugs are fun. I mean, what's funny is I really think that as I, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I don't need drugs. Like no drug, you know. And as an adult, what I have come to realize is that I spent a good amount of my time managing my mental states through fucking activity and drugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's okay as long as you don't freaking do it in a way that gets destructive. You know.
Hey, Bert, can I just say
that line gets really blurry though.
Yeah. I think about you like that sometimes, and I think it's kind of when you say, oh, I wake up, so I take caffeine, and then if I get a little, you know, if I take an Adderall, and maybe I have to counter it with marijuana, and you can just control that so easily. I think I would be on the streets, homeless, if I was doing
you
shit
think,
like that.
Really?
You?
No. Goose?
I don't think
no
I could
way,
handle
man.
Like that. I'm saying if I was doing different drugs, I can smoke a ton of weed, yeah, but if I started doing MDMA and all that
have
other
you
crap.
Tried?
I've never had it, no.
Well, then maybe you should try it. I mean,
I've only
have you tried
marijuana.
To manage a big, heavy drug load? Then sell you yourself short. I believe in
dude,
you.
Yeah.
I have you do it.
I think you should try it.
I really think I can.
Yes, I do.
You guys think I can do it? I'm going to try.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Write some warning signs down on a piece of paper, right? That, like, if I start doing this, then you guys got to fucking come rescue me, right?
It'll get back to Tim and Tammy if Mike's straying. Don't worry about it. We got a system of checks and balances already built into the situation. I feel very secure about it.
Yeah, look. Yeah, if you're going to go on a 3-day bender, just put your fucking tracking on your phone so we know where you're at. Right?
Yeah. We just need to be able to find
you.
You
got to pull the ripcord. Just be like, SOS.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
We could do a live show where we're just following where he's going.
What the fuck happened?
Yeah. This bar, that strip club. Jail.
We'll give him a bag of all of our favorite drugs. Jail in the world.
You know, it's funny because our first question. This is wild. How this? I don't know. This plays out really well sometimes. And this one, where question: if I wanted to secretly get somebody hooked on drugs so I could blackmail/manipulate them, what drug would you recommend? Asking for a friend.
Well, that's
cool. Isn't this the whole history of the relationship between the British and the Chinese?
Like opium?
Opium.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty sure what it was, right?
Opium or heroin, probably, right? Those would be the two.
Well, yeah, but no, I mean,
but how do you give it to them?
Yeah, exactly. This isn't just like what is the most addictive drug. It's
well,
like,
if you live with them, right? You know what I would think it would be.
Was it a coworker, Tim, or did they live with them?
It just said if I wanted to secretly get somebody hooked on drugs.
You know, the only drug I ever had a problem with, like I feel like I had a problem with, was Klonopin.
Michelle.
Xanax.
Oh. Yeah, Xanax, Klonopin, like benzodiazepines, because they work so fucking well. Like, you can be stressed out about some shit. You have five things going totally fucking, like, crashing in your fucking life. And I would take a Klonopin, and I'd be like, it's all okay.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Right?
I love them.
And then it would start wearing off, and I'd be like, shit ain't okay anymore. And then I'd start stressing out, and then I'd take another Klonopin, and I'd be like, no, shit's okay, right? And then after like 3 weeks of that, I was like, I can't stop taking these fucking things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was like bad. So if you were gonna try to get somebody addicted to drugs, I think a if you know somebody who's stressed out and you give them benzodiazepines on the sly, that could fucking
just slip them in their coffee.
Yeah, that could work. So it'd be a terrible thing. It'd be so unethical. It'd be like the most fucking terrible thing to do.
Addicting somebody to any drug would be
right.
This is ethics aren't our concern.
Unless your
ethics aren't our concern.
So that's a listener's issue.
So we have, for the purpose of this question, though, hypothetically, you have access to this person. So either they live with you, you're in a relationship with them, or you work with them regularly. I mean, you know, I work with people. I don't necessarily have the level of access necessary to drug them. But let's just say that you do, you know.
Depends what
but
kind
then
of
you take into consideration. Is it something you have to put into, like, coffee? Like, how do you administer the drugs? Like, if you live with them, I guess you could inject them while they're sleeping, right, honey?
What's the end goal here? Because I don't want to waste my Xanax on anyone else.
Well, that's true.
Really good. Like, what's the end goal of the question, Tim?
I think he said, like, to manipulate or blackmail.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be some big goal in order to give up drugs for somebody.
Could you manipulate somebody on
them your drugs, right?
On Klonopin, like, you know, if they had a state of calm, you know, I guess you could admit it. What would be the easiest
So if you get someone addicted to Klonopin and then you take their Klonopin away and they start having like massive anxiety attacks and then you give some like loco transvestite some Klonopin and ask them for sexual favors, like, you know, in embarrass them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Damn, the transvestite has the Klonopin.
I like Xanax as much as the next person, and I do find it to be effective when I'm stressed or anxious.
Spiraling.
Yeah, but I don't know how much Xanax I'd have to take, you know, to like let my guard down sexually to start, like, you know, sleeping with random strangers. You know what I mean? That'd be a lot of Klonopin.
They have to be somebody who is already like somebody who is like prone to addictive behavior. You know?
Yeah. I think watching all those pain doctor movies, that oxy looks like it would do it. Those people.
I'm trying to think, would the goal be to like, okay, I've addicted you and now I'm your supplier and so you're going to do my bidding? Or would it be more subtle for them to not know that you've somehow addicted them and you're manipulating them? Like, put them on acid. And then, you know, convince them that maybe they're, you know, they're
3 feet tall.
Yeah.
That's what Manson did.
You're three feet tall. You know? Yeah, yeah. Put them on acid. And think they're going crazy. You know what I mean?
He basically had his little family and he would make them take acid for like 3 or 4 days in a row. And there would be people that would refuse to do it and they would be ejected. But the people that would stay, he knew he could manipulate. And ultimately manipulated him to murder. Yeah. So basically, Greg, what you're talking about is kind of being a cult leader. Just your suggestion. That, yeah. It worked really well. It was sleep deprivation.
I don't know. Like, okay, I've tried to take acid the day after I took acid before. You build up a tolerance to that shit really quickly. So if, like, you take a hit of acid one day and the next day you try it again, you'll feel buzzed, but it won't really work. Like, in order to trip, you'd have to take like three hits, right? Like, you like, in order to have the same effect. Like, you build up a tolerance to that shit really quick.
We're talking about for purposes of manipulation, though. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't have to necessarily give somebody acid every day.
Well, yeah, I would say the story, like,
them, you know?
Like that's
Did we lose Katie?
Yeah, we lost
her. Yeah, where'd she go?
She's texting me. Let's see.
This is the conversation.
Like, you know the Doc Ellis story where he, like, I think that Doc Ellis story is a great story. It doesn't ring true to me, right? Because, like, I don't think, like, if you would have to take a lot of acid day two to actually get the effect that he claimed. But I don't
know. Doc Ellis story?
Doc Ellis was a Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher, starting pitcher in the early 70s who pitched a no-hitter on acid because he got the day. Yeah, he got the days of the his start
week
mixed
wrong,
up.
Right?
No, this is the days. He's a starting pitcher. He pitches every 4 or 5 days, and so he thought he had the day off. He dropped acid, and then Danny Murtaugh was like, "All right, Doc, get warmed up." You know, and he was like, "All right." So he pitched a no-hitter, and he describes you know, all these psychedelic effects happening while he's on the mound, but he pitched a no-hitter.
Wow.
But like, that's you crazy. Know, that's, I mean, I think acid would be the way to go, and you convince somebody that they're, you only give it to them maybe once in a while, but you give it to them at appropriate times when they have a big situation happening, and then you can start to create the narrative that they're crazy and that they need you like a Svengali type of control that you have over them. It's like, you know, every time something big happens at work, you start seeing fucking dinosaurs coming out of the walls, and I don't know what it is, but I think you better let me do your thinking for you from now on. You know,
there you go.
Yeah. Cheech and Chong did that one bit tripping in court.
I don't think I saw that. Yeah, though they were.
It's not an old Cheech and Chong. I think it's like Nice Dreams or something like that. Mm. Dig it up.
But that's what I do.
You wouldn't be addicted to acid. That's the thing.
That's true. Well, okay, that's true. That's true.
We'll see.
It'd be really hard to addict somebody to something without them consciously knowing. I mean,
right.
You know,
well, pimps do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Stacey got addicted to me without realizing.
These girls know that they're addicted to something, you know. They know they're getting shot up with heroin or whatever. You know? They're not getting heroin slipped into their Diet Pepsis, and that's why they're acting so crazy.
No, but like that in those all the films where they kidnap the girls, they start just drugging them.
Oh, yeah,
they inject them.
Yeah.
Yes, I will find.
Oh, yeah, you could tie the person down and just continuously inject them with heroin.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, I like that idea. Yes, do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind
maybe,
that.
Maybe we should stop this discussion.
I wouldn't want to be sexually. I wouldn't want to be sexually assaulted all day. But I tell you, some of the happiest memories of my life were when I had little prescriptions of Vicodin. You know.
Oh, really?
Best Thanksgiving of my life. I was alone. I just had my meniscus surgery, and I had this little prescription of Vicodin. I think I had 12 or 18 capsules, and I had my knee operated on like 2 days before Thanksgiving. The next day, I managed to get myself some like a bunch of snacks and food, and I just hunkered down for like, you know, Wednesday through Monday, and just like three or four Vicodin a day. I was just high the whole time. Like I was one with my memory foam mattress and my chicken from Boston Market. It was
Thanksgiving of your life.
Right. It really was.
Leads off. I was alone. That's how it started.
Yeah. I try not to take offense.
It was so good. Like Netflix was still, you know, like the Netflix app was still relatively new.
You're a man in your element.
I had so many unwatched documentaries, and I was just like drifting in and out of like consciousness, and like a cloud of peace. I don't know. It was great. It was beautiful.
He's so excited when I fall asleep at night because then he can start flipping through all the documentaries. Because I hear him going, "Are you falling asleep?
Yeah,
I'm falling asleep."
Well, Katie's like, true. And she'll be like,
"No,
I can't imagine."
No,
I'm not.
And I'm like, "Okay, well, should I turn the show off, honey? Because we're not really paying attention. We can pick it up tomorrow. I'll put on a documentary." No, I like to fall asleep to it. So I have to watch 45 minutes more of a show that we watched together, only to have to rewatch it the next day.
I feel your pain.
Yeah. I have that thing, like when you're a kid and you'd want to deny that you're falling asleep. And I get mad. Like if you say, "Are you falling asleep?" I'm like, "No."
Yeah. Stacy has.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, Stacy has literally said, "I'm just resting my eyes."
You know, Katie says it all the time.
I thought that is the most overused expression. What do you mean, resting your eyes?
So I get my phone and I like put it in front of her face, you know, like so I can kind of see if she's awake, her eyes are open.
Oh, that's a good trick. I'll use that because what Tammy does, same thing. Tammy will like you going to sleep and she'll say something. It's her tell, right? She'll be like, "Oh, that person is doing that." Like she tries to act like she's been engaged.
Oh, yeah.
Katie does that too. And the same thing, Greg, like we have to go the next day and watch another 30, 45 minutes of it. And I'm like, I've already seen all this. You know what I mean?
That's when he does his baseball lineup.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I mean, Katie has a tell that I've never even told her that she has, but it should be blatantly obvious to her, is that she's chatty. You know, so when we're watching most things, and I'm fairly chatty too. Like, you know, when we're watching most things, you know, we're chatting pretty heavily through most things, you know, but when she becomes utterly silent and I see something on the screen that would normally, I know the kind of Michelle things that would trigger a response. You know, Katie just, she's dead silent. And she's asleep. You know?
I have a few tells. My eyes are closed. Yeah. I start talking.
Michelle literally just crawled out of the room behind me on hands and knees because she wanted you guys to see me, to see her leaving.
Oh, okay.
She's tired.
Well, she's resting her eyes while she was listening to us.
She's
She's got another podcast she's going to listen to.
I guess we have a number of different ways we could get them hooked on drugs. Very aggressively, strap them to a bed and inject them with hardcore drugs. Or
that'd be your best option.
Or get them hooked on whatever Bert called it,
benzodiazepines, clonopin, Xanax.
Oh, Xanax. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, Xanax. Yeah. All right.
I could always tell those moms that were on Xanax when my kid was little and we were in the moms groups. There would be like two or three moms that would just be like, the kids would be running wild and they'd be
so
like,
chill.
Everything's good. Fine. Is that your kid climbing off the top of the roof?
Is that your kid on fire?
Might be. Yeah. Is that my kid? Okay. Oh, it is.
That shirt's old anyway.
Who's that kid waving the gun? Oh, that's Billy. Billy, stop. Where'd you find that?
There's only two rounds in it. Don't worry.
Go put it back in my drawer.
What was Mother's Little Helper of Rolling Stones fame? Was it Valium?
It was Valium. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Valium.
Which is that's a benzodiazepine too.
Yeah. Yeah. My grandma used to give me when I was a kid. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She did
everything, Katie.
She gave you Valium?
Yeah.
I love your grandma.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, like whenever I would be upset about anything, she'd give me Valium.
Does it stun
my grandmother gave me fudge.
Probably. What are you trying to say, Tim?
You're not dunking a basketball anytime soon, I guess, is what I'm saying, Katie.
I think a lot of that was my mom smoking and drinking during her pregnancy.
Oh, yeah, that was
everybody. Yeah, dude, my mom smoked and drank during my pregnancy. And I wonder if I could have turned out better if she did. If she
I'm
was.
Sure it would have been so obviously. Much better.
I know, right? I'd be fucking president now.
Yeah. Then people would be shooting at you. You don't want that.
Yeah, my mom gave me Percocets when I had a headache or something. Have a Percocet.
I know. Those are good days. It was like Judy Garland Jr.
You need to kill that mosquito? Here's a shotgun.
Well, we didn't realize at the time, like my mom, she didn't look down on us all for drinking or my dad for drinking, but you know, she was a non-drinker. And so she had this slight like air of, you know, moral superiority about the fact that she didn't drink and the rest of our family was really big drinkers. But you know, then looking back, she was totally, you know, a pill popper.
She was on pain pills.
Yeah, my dad was drinking a couple of beers a night to get loose, and mom was popping opioids, you know.
All right,
fucking pain pills. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love when I hear some celebrity fucking having to go into rehab because they're addicted to fucking whatever, and it's like, oh, they're suffering from exhaustion. Exhaustion.
Like John Mulaney.
Did you see his stand-up after he
came out? Yeah, it was good.
We saw him. We saw that live.
We saw it live. Yeah.
Oh, was it? I mean, it must have been great live.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great. And it was like the first we'd heard a lot of those stories.
Yeah.
That was the first concert we went to, too, where they took our phones and made us put them in those magnetic bags.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the first
one. It was at West Palm Beach, the amphitheater up there, where you just had to see the Doobie Brothers.
Doobie Brothers.
Aren't you surprised at how many great songs the Doobie Brothers
sang? You know, it's funny. Yeah. You were sitting there, and it rained on us.
It rained
like,
the whole concert.
Second time less than a week, I got downpoured on. But we were sitting there in the grass with our little ponchos on, and I was like, I said, I think I know... four or five. There's four or five good Doobie Brothers songs. And then, you know, Michael McDonald has another two or three solo songs that if they play, that would be cool. But yeah, they have more than I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I remember this one too.
Who was singing?
Michael McDonald.
And the whole wow. The original lead singer was there too. I mean, like,
oh, really? That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, the guitar player. That's great. Yeah. Good. They all sounded really good.
Awesome. And I was like, did they do China Grove?
Yeah, they did. Oh, yep. China Grove. Jesus Is Just All Right With Me.
That's all right. That's
Taking It to the Streets.
It to the Streets. Yeah.
There was a lot of really high people around us, too.
Oh, my God.
There was a guy in front of us. You know when they say dance like nobody's watching? This guy was all over the video. He was all over
the place. But then it would become like he was so happy and hippie dancing around. But then they would play a new song, and he would start shouting at them.
And
like,
booing.
Stop playing new music. We don't want to hear any of that shit.
Yeah. More Doobie. More Brothers. Yeah. More Doobie. More Brothers.
More Doobie. More Brothers.
But somehow, I mean, no more weeknight concerts. I don't know how I... allowed myself thinking? To schedule a weekend.
Oh, I know.
Concert.
I would know.
It's insane.
Yeah. It was stupid. And it wasn't close to home.
It's like 45 minutes away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh,
and it was pouring rain the whole entire time.
No.
I'm guessing you didn't stay for the encore.
No.
No, luckily somebody, the
gal who sold me the disposable ponchos was like, oh yeah, they're supposed to go on at 8:30 and they're supposed to be done at 10:15 sharp. And I was like, okay, Katie, 9:50, we're out of here. So, and we heard a couple of songs as we walked to our cars. Great.
So when you were in church, Greg, when you were a kid, did you try to sneak out like what once they handed out the
Eucharist?
Christ, during the Eucharist, did you try to sneak out?
Sometimes we did.
Way to pay attention,
Jesus today. I'm well,
it was all
here.
It was my dad. It was whatever
He's in
kind
my
of
mouth.
Mood,
I gotta
whatever
go.
Kind of mood my dad was in. You know, in the Catholic Mass, now it was rare that we would sneak right out after communion. We would usually go back, but there was a point in the Catholic Mass not long after communion when the priest would say, kind of deceptively, Mass has ended, go in peace.
Oh, that's bullshit.
But then there was another 10 minutes usually.
Yeah.
You know, and
that
so
that probably used to piss me off. So
yeah,
bad.
Me too. And so that was the point where my old man, if we would always sit near the back, and that was the point where we would, you know, be like, come on, he'd just give me the like, come on, and we'd all go out. The
dad
side
gives
the
head nod. You're like, fuck
yeah. Yeah, and he's like, and my dad was like, hey, you said the Mass ended, you know, and he was an altar boy, so he knew what he was talking about. So.
My dad used to take me and my two brothers to church every Sunday. We'd go, and we would leave as soon as they started handing out communion. We would leave, so we wouldn't even get communion. And then we did that for a couple of months, and then the priest at one Mass said, you know, I notice a lot of people leave during communion. You realize Mass is not over. So we chastised them. So we had to stay.
Yeah, you're going to hell. You're, that's like, that's, communion, that's 1,500 years in purgatory for every year.
It seems like an hour, you know, like, you know, there's some priests who took the Mass longer, but most of the priests that it was like 50 minutes. But my God, it seemed, and the church was only 5 minutes from our house, but it seemed like hours of misery to me. I don't know why.
They had Father Becker at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Sharpsburg. He's a big Steelers fan. So if the game was at 1 o'clock, you always went to noon Mass on Sunday.
Because he'd be out there at 12:35.
12:35, you're fucking out of there, right? He's going to watch a Steelers game. It was great.
Nice. I love it. All right. Next question. Hey, crew, I need your opinion. Mm-hmm. I was recently banned by my local coffee shop because they claim I took too many napkins and Splenda packets every day. Do I have grounds for a lawsuit?
No.
No, it's private
business.
It's a private business.
Yeah, what the fuck is
Yes, you do.
Exactly. I think there's a lawyer out there who would take that.
I'm sure there is. But,
stop taking all the Splenda.
My mom used to take the Sweet and Low all the time.
But you got to fucking steal Splenda, dude.
I was at my Publix a couple of weeks ago. And normally we don't really go into grocery stores very often anymore. We do mostly Instacart. So it was kind of a novel experience actually being in the store. And there was a woman, not to cast aspersions on Boca people, honey, but you know, there was a woman there talking loudly on her cell phone, standing in front of the grapes, and she was just reaching into it. Wasn't a bag in her cart that she intended to pay for, and that would be wrong too because it's by weight, but she was just standing there reaching into the bags of grapes that were in the display case, talking to her friend, like popping grapes.
Do you film her?
No, I do want to get a Karen live on TV, live on video one time. But I was just so taken aback. because I was actually looking for grapes, and I was thinking, oh, great, like this chick's been this running her hand.
Cock blocking my grapes.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, what the fuck? What is wrong? I mean, when I was a kid, yeah, I took a couple of pieces of candy from the bulk candy aisle on Giant Eagle. I'll admit it, Bert. But, you know, like, since I was like, what's wrong with it? I mean, it's one thing to, like, eat something that you're intending to pay for, but, God, what level of entitlement do you have?
When you take a grape, put it in your mouth, and you reach back in the same bag and fucking another grape, that's fucking gross.
Yeah. Well, plus those grapes probably need to be washed, don't they? I usually wash my produce.
Oh, you have to wash them.
That's kind of gross.
It's disgusting. I mean, is there any level of just like casual theft that you guys are down with at this point in your life? Like, I can't think of any situation where I've taken some Splenda packets. Maybe I didn't need right away in the situation.
But casual theft. I guess a place I used to work, we could run letters that we wanted to mail through the mail machine, and it would stamp it. And it was usually for work stuff. But I occasionally brought in home mail and ran it through the stamp
Christmas card,
like all your Christmas cards,
my cousin's wedding invitations. I only charged him $20.
Tammy went through a phase where we would get home from after going out somewhere, and she would pull a glass out of the, like, that she thought was nice that she was that we had. Yeah. To the point where I had to, like, tell her when we would go to, like, the brew pub.
Don't steal shit, Tammy.
Yeah, like, so literally.
Steal my cousin's, family's glasses. Those were my grandmother's.
Never from a private, that I'm aware of, a private residence, but from a,
you're aware of.
Well, I mean. You know,
I'd love to hear, like, when you have to, you know, lay down the law, so to speak, with Tammy, like, how does she react to him when you're like, you know, Tammy, you're a thief. You're stealing. You're a goddamn thief. Like, how does she react?
She's like, it's not stealing. Like, I mean, we overpaid for that food. It's not, you know, it's they have plenty of them. We went to a place like a Double Mountain. They have, you know, great pint glasses. This is in Oregon, Double Mountain. Yeah. And I love their beer. And so I had a pint glass once. Oh, it's such a great pint glass. And, you know, the wildest thing is I never saw her do it. I never saw her.
Like, oh, she's
so good at it that I never saw it. But, you know, I did have to say, like, you can't do that. You got to stop. And she would just kind of roll her eyes.
She can, though.
Yeah, exactly.
She's gotten away with it already.
Many times. Oh, silverware.
And if it finally comes to him, you're never going to see it coming.
Right. I've made peace with that.
You know, I guess now that upon reflection, I was ready to pass judgment on Tammy. But
taking towels.
Towels. Yeah, I take towels from hotels that I like. Right. Yeah. You know, we were just at an international resort, a very nice one, and you know, and my move is always like to try to catch the hotel staff in the hallway and be like, oh, can I grab a couple of towels? So they lose track of how many towels are floating around my room.
I see.
You know, and then I hide them in my room, like there was a really tall, like, closet. Yeah, and I just hide them in the back of those shelves so they can't see them. So they're taking
pop up a ceiling tile.
Exactly. They're taking out think is the right number of towels, and the math all makes sense. But really, I've squirreled away a couple of beauties. You know,
so you have like a dopamine rush as you're walking out on your way out, and you know that you got one over. You've got a couple of nice towels.
You know what? For me, it's not this. You know, I wish I didn't have to steal them. Yeah, I don't. You know, I love the towels. I love the feel of cotton. You know, like a really good quality cotton towel. It's not the thrill of stealing it, but I want that towel. I want to have that experience.
But does it give you a slight erection? You don't get a slight erection from that? Maybe a little bit. A little blood flowing.
You know, when I wrap them up and whip Katie with them.
Yeah. Right in the ass. Oh, sure.
Yeah. Ha ha.
Yeah. Stacy likes to clean up all the soaps that we didn't use, shampoos, coffee, anything that's in the hotel room. She goes, they're just going to throw it away.
I said, no, this feel like that. That's for me to take. Yeah, I almost feel that's okay. You know, because they're giving them to you to use.
And
you're just choosing to use them later, you know?
Yeah. And then light bulbs and pillows.
Can you still serving dishes?
The remote control.
Katie fell in love with the dishes they brought the condiments in at the room service.
I did. So we have those back.
Yeah. Okay. See.
Yeah, my brother Paul used to steal the coleslaw dishes.
Specifically the coleslaw, the, like the little
cubbies. They'd give him styrofoam and he'd have like his coleslaw. He'd always order extra coleslaw. And he'd have like a little plastic or a little ceramic ramekin of coleslaw and he would just put it in the styrofoam. One time the waitress walked up and like caught him red-handed and he was like, "Oh, can I have this? Can I just have this?" And he was always like, this is before he stopped drinking. He was always really, you know, he had like quite a bit to drink. They'd just be like, "Sure, man. Yeah, fine. If you want to, fine."
He's like, "You're leaving, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get out of here." Now.
They don't care either, right? That's exactly it.
Apathy is a good thing.
I think every ramekin in our house is from a restaurant or a room service.
Yeah, you have those little silver ice cream dishes that you
see? Get those off the cruise ship. Yeah,
I gotta tell Tammy she's got a brother in arms and you, Katie.
For me, it's just towels and some Splenda. You know, I like to have Splenda.
Yeah. Just cash.
You're single and a chick comes over and you got like a bunch of towels that say Holiday Inn on it.
I only get the nice quality ones. There's some nice towels there.
Okay, so probably grounds for a lawsuit, and I guess, you know, we have some kleptos on this show as well.
Good to know.
It's good to know. Yes, exactly. Why did everyone stop talking?
Well, I figured you work on the lead in music or something, right?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask another question. There it is.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Bad News, where our esteemed panel discusses news stories of the day that impact you. Yes, you, dear listener. And tonight's story is... crocodile that lunged at children is shot and cooked for local residents in northern Australia.
Can you read the whole thing out loud? I love this story so much.
Katie did select this story, listeners. It was a rather large traditional feast, and there were a few full bellies, the police say. So these Australians are just badasses, huh? You know, fuck with our children. We will shoot you and eat you.
It was stalking. It wasn't just fuck. It was stalking.
It ate some children dogs.
And adults, and it was eating all the pets.
Australia sounds like a terrible place. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Sounds terrible.
The alligators, the spiders, the snakes.
Yeah. The Australians. Yeah, deadly snakes. Yeah, the dingoes, the kangaroos jumping around. The yeah, exactly.
Giant
the
rats.
Sharks. Yeah, those. You ever see those hordes of mice that infest farms?
Oh,
in Australia?
Yeah. Oh.
Like you open up a barn door and it's like, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of thousands of mice like overrunning these fields and it's just these plagues of mice. It sounds like a terrible place.
It sounds like Florida times 10. Like it just, and I, like,
yeah, I hate, way worse. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I never see gators really up close around here. I'm never afraid of being snuck up on or stalked by a gator. For me, the worst is the iguanas shit on my car 3 or 4 times a week. Honestly.
Would you kill an iguana and then eat it because it shit in your car?
No. You can sell their meat down here,
though. Oh,
really?
Jesus There's a big Christ. Market for iguana meat here.
Oh. People
what
love do they do
it.
With it? They
grill it.
It's like gator.
Yeah, gator bites, similar
maybe
to alligator.
Jerky or something?
Yeah, jerky.
Maybe. I mean, there's a ton of restaurants here that serve gator.
Did you ever try it? Is it any good?
Yeah.
I've had gator in,
gator bites
in Louisiana.
Yeah. Tastes like chicken.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, these motherfuckers, they ate the crocodile.
Yeah, they're not
put it on
around.
The Barbie.
Put it on the Barbie.
Did they mount the head terrible. Out by the lake to let the other alligators know?
That's what you have to do.
On a spike.
Yeah.
I used to have to throw one dead iguana in the pond where I used to work.
It kept the other ones away?
Yeah, because that's the guy who wrote the book on like iguana hunting, who's out of Key West. There's a book, tips on how to.
Do you have a signed copy, Katie?
No, but I have a copy.
That's what you got $1 million grant.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what Katie would study.
iguana
eradication.
What did the guy who wrote the book on iguana killing say, honey?
No, that like you have to make an throw example. The one dead iguana into the water so that it floats around and it lets the other iguanas know.
Oh, Tim used to give me similar business advice when I would take over a new school. He'd be like, you know, you got to drag a body through the office every once in a while.
Oh, I've lost 50% of my new staff in the first month.
Greg, did I actually say that to you?
Yeah,
because there was a guy that said that, and I thought it was so horrible to say. I can't believe I passed it on as actual advice.
No, dude. It's
true.
It's important so that everybody, if you got a fuck up, right, somebody in your office who's a fucking dead weight and a fuck up, you got to fire them in a very visible way. Right?
So, especially totally when you're new. You got to come in really hard. Like, I tended to be kind of a more easygoing leader, you know? I mean, I had... I had rules and things that were non-negotiables, but I was known as probably a fun manager, but not at first. You had to come in hard and you had to be humorless and you had to, like, you know, call a few people out just to set a fucking tone and get and all the losers would jump ship and then you could be nice to the people who stuck around. That's my philosophy, right?
I tried to make sure that if somebody actually wasn't doing a good job, that there were fucking consequences and people had to be aware of it, right? Mm-hmm. I think you had to make an example out of somebody other than you just let people know that not meeting the standard won't be tolerated.
Right. Right. Peg them right in the office. Maybe just peg them right in the office.
Yeah.
Bend over.
I totally agree with that. That is 100%. That's management 101, right? That's 100%. But the exact quote that this guy said is nothing brings you more respect than putting a bullet in someone's head and dragging the body through the office.
Oh.
Which is super graphic, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I was like that is just over the top.
Who was that? I wonder.
It was a guy the first company worked with together. Mm-hmm. But the sentiment was, I mean...
It's true. Like, you got to make an example so that you're not going to tolerate bullshit. And I used to tell people, like, there's always usually a silent majority of good employees who follow the rules in a situation where things have gotten a little too loose. And when they see, you know, when they see that, oh boy, a leader's come in who's going to, you know, be consistent and uphold policy... That silent
and
majority
rejoices.
And not tolerate
people who don't. Yeah,
they love it. They're energized. Yep. They're energized by that shit, you know?
Yeah, because Greg and I, we did a lot of our career was going into places that weren't performing well. Greg, before even I started working with him. And that's exactly it. It's just... Yeah.
And you know what's even better? If it's also the same guy who fucking microwaves fish for lunch, then they really fucking love you.
I saw the cutest sign. It was like, the only fish allowed in this office are goldfish, Swedish fish. It had like no other fish.
Yeah, that is bad.
So gross.
Yeah.
Yes, I've lost too. Greg's been having to pep talk me through it, Tim, because I was like really starting to feel bad.
It's awesome.
Two employees.
Yeah, the first one called the sheriff on me for bullying.
Yeah.
The second one gave notice at the end of the day Friday. So, yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, Katie was feeling bad. I was like, fuck that. She's like, well, I've turned over 50% of my staff. And I was like, I used to get stats from our corporate office that, you know, Greg, do you realize that you've turned over 173% of your employees? And I'd be like, well, it's not like they're all the same guy. And I said, but there's been a few positions I had to turn over a couple of times, you know. So I said, there's turnover and then there's positive turnover. This is what I would consider positive turnover.
Yeah, you're either bringing value or you're taking value.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's fucking true, man. There's no standing still.
Yeah.
So if you're taking value, you're fair game. And the excitement, right? Greg, how did you feel like, and maybe I guess Katie too, right now, you identify that person and then you're like, oh, I got you. Like, you know, right? And then it's just all about how to do this.
Yeah.
Or when to do it.
Well, yeah, you got to give them a chance, right? You got to communicate once.
Of course. Like, and Katie gave everyone a chance because you don't know them going in. I say that all the same time. Like, hey guys, whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened last week, that's gone. That's done. Clean slate for everybody who wants it. But we got to start rowing in the same direction. And there were people who had bad reputations. I can remember some who I became quite good friends with who had a bad reputation coming in. But when things got onto a better keel, they responded positively. And that was great. I was happy to keep them, you know. But you got to do it. I was telling Katie, Tim, like, you know, she was wanting to hasten the exit. And I was like, you know what? Just become extremely interested in what that person does all day. Become extremely inquisitive.
One day.
I was like, sit with them and say, hey, you know, I'm going to sit here with you for 2 hours today because I just want to observe and know, understand what you're doing better.
He turned me into a monster.
Yeah, and she quit the next day.
Yeah. That's
not well, I just started with like, so what are you working on this morning? Just I have work. Okay, but specifically, what do you have? Mm-hmm. Okay, I have this to do. Okay, that takes 5 minutes. Okay, what else are you working on this morning? Okay, and then she said, I don't know that that's your business. And I said, actually, it is. And so then I pulled my chair out from my office and sat behind her like Greg had suggested.
Yeah.
And I used to say to people, left and went to the bathroom for 20 minutes.
Okay, I see you got here at 9 yesterday. You left at 5:30 and you made 19 calls. That probably takes total, I don't know, let's give you an hour, even though it takes probably half an hour. You attended 4 meetings yesterday, were 15 minutes each. And you had lunch. I said, I'll give you an hour for Googling, just random Googling. That still only gives me 4 hours yesterday. What did you do for the other 4 hours? And they're like, it's uncomfortable. I don't like asking those questions, but it's necessary sometimes. So.
Well, yeah, the thing today, man, is everything you fucking do is vlogged. Like, of course. You show. Like, so, like, it's like, you know who's getting shit done and who's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Who's engaged.
And, you know, the people who seem to defy, like, I don't know how they do it because they do seem to loaf quite a bit, but the results are great. Who cares?
Yeah, that fucking act.
Yeah,
done, exactly. Right?
Get out of their fucking way, you know?
Yep.
So. Anyway.
All right. Yeah. So, what was the fucking question?
It was about eating a crocodile in.
News. Right. Oh, yeah, it was a news story.
Question. Yeah, I mean, Australia's terrible. They're terrible. You know,
I like Sydney, man. It was nice. It was fun.
They're awful people, the Australians.
They fucking drink.
They're worse than the Canadians, you know?
No, they are.
They're a bunch of pussies.
I would say no.
A bunch of pussies.
Wow. Canadians or Australians?
We do watch this show called Alone. And the
Who's the worst English speaker?
It has to be
the worst English speakers. They have to be.
Worst on what scale?
Just like the most
accent?
The worst to deal with.
Who's in the running? Americans, Canadians, British,
Scots, Canadians,
Irish,
New Zealand. Australia.
New Zealand, Australian.
South America, don't they speak English there?
South Africa.
South Africa. South America.
Yeah.
The Brits are a pain in the ass.
Fiji.
Yeah.
Fiji. Canadians, though. The Canadians, like, they act like they're nice, but then they're fucking...
passive-aggressively nice.
Yeah, they're passive-aggressively nice, fucking...
I think I hate the Australians the most.
Really?
I don't know. They're
I think
pussies.
Australian accents are hot. Like,
yeah.
If a hot chick has an Australian accent, that's like extra points for sure.
Better than the South African accent.
They're descendants of criminals.
So?
That's a positive in Bert's.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
That's
unsuccessful criminals. They got caught and shipped off to Van Diemen's land. Come on.
So you're saying she has questionable morals.
Yeah. All
great song, though, right, Tim? Van Diemen's land?
Yes. Yeah.
I knew you'd like that.
Always, man. All right. We got one more question. Hey, guys, I've been listening for a long time. If you're reading my question, thank you.
Mm. All right.
You're welcome. See, Erica, you're welcome. That's how you do it. That's how you approach it.
Right. Erica.
Gratitude.
Fucking hell.
So recently, my wife and I were hanging out with some friends and we were playing dominoes. I hadn't played in a long time and neither has my wife, but if you know the game, it's pretty simple. So we were playing and I was kicking my wife's ass so bad that she quit before the game finished and didn't say much to me for the rest of the night. She said I was mean for doing that. I told her we're playing a game. Object is to win, not to be nice to your opponents. Granted, we weren't playing for money or anything, so having fun is a part of it. But at the same time, isn't the overall objective to win the fucking game? So my question is, am I out of line for kicking her ass, or is she being too sensitive? Thanks.
Well, I mean, I think you need to reframe the game. You know,
What is the game?
Dominoes isn't the game.
Yeah, that's
getting laid is the game.
Yeah. And keeping your keeping your wife off her ass—that's the game. You know, well, I don't want to get all Sun Tzu on you, buddy, but you know, like, you know, there's
winning
the victory.
Dominoes is not the most important.
There's victory, then there's the appearance of victory. You know, you're gonna concede a little bit of ground while you outflank your opponent and surprise them. You know,
right.
This person's a very linear thinker. It sounds
I don't like to think of.
Must win.
It sounds like a NASCAR person to me. I don't
know. Still, the white's wrong. We all agree.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I sympathize with you, pal. You know, I mean, it is, you know, if you, you know, women aren't good at sports generally, or games, or competitions, or things like that.
Oh,
so, you know, I get it that, you know, the fact that you have to now worry about the feelings of your wife, it kind of sucks all the joy out of playing a game, because you should be able to trash talk and let the best player win. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
But you have a woman in the situation, it changes things. You know?
All right. If you're playing with a bunch of guys and you're all like getting each other's face and busting each other's balls, that's a different outcome. That's a completely different scenario.
Just you and your wife.
Another couple, right?
Another couple.
All right. Yeah. Hold on. I asked him earlier, can I ask this question to the podcast? Because this was me. This happened this weekend. I was at my friend's house in Maine. We're playing dominoes. I kicked Stacey's ass.
Really? This really happened?
I said, Tim, I got a question. Let me just send it to you. Just pretend like, and I was just hoping you guys would pick my side, and then I could play the podcast for Stacey and say, see, it wasn't me.
Did you get laid? She didn't get laid, did you?
No.
You idiot.
It's all what you're trying to do, right?
But we were playing a friendly game, and I thought, I had no idea she was going to get that upset, and she quit the game. And I'm like, then at night, I'm like, what's the matter? She was nothing, went to bed. Finally, the next morning, why are you so upset? Well, you beat me. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? We play games all the time. Then, you know, sometimes she kicks my ass. Sometimes I kick her ass. But
well, was this interesting?
You ever throw the game as part of Gambit to like get her to give you a sympathy fuck?
No, never tried that. No.
Maybe.
Was this the first time you were playing games with this other couple?
We were up there visiting with them last year at the same time, and
are these couple to you people?
My friend of mine, Chris, who I grew up with, and it's his wife. I've known, and he's been with her since high school, so these are lifelong friends.
That's the problem. That's it right there. I can't believe how dumb you are, Goose. Honestly, I really can't.
Oh my God.
How many milligrams of marijuana did you have?
We were smoking a lot of weed.
Situation. Yeah.
It's a game, and I made a move. And what made it worse is my friend Chris said, oh, wow, you could have done this to help Stacey, but you went and did this just to win the game, huh?
Oh,
and
thanks,
Stacey
buddy.
Quit after that round and wouldn't speak to the rest of
the game. He got laid that night.
Yeah. I'm gonna give Goose some real insight. And guys, tell me if you think I'm wrong here, but like, you know, so the dynamic is Goose, friend and friend's wife, all of you guys have known each other for years, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So Stacey is, you know, even though you guys have been together for years as well, though, she's the new kid in town when it comes to that group. And so for you to thoroughly humiliate her in front of your lifelong friends, she's probably like, oh, great. Now, Goose's lifelong friends think he's married to a dumbass.
Lost at dominoes. How are you a dumbass at losing at dominoes?
On her and threw your nuts in her face.
Yeah.
Like you were hanging from the rim.
You an end zone dance. That'd be pretty cool.
Right? But again, you're not wrong. I sympathize with you, but you need to see the bigger picture there, buddy.
Well, I guess I wasn't thinking. I thought just playing a game. I'm not thinking about.
But now you're really screwed.
I'm probably going to get laid, but
because if you, you know, now you got to learn how to lose convincingly. You know what I mean? Because
the hard part.
You can't just lose and be like, oh, or you can't, and you can't seem to be, you know, somewhat indifferent toward the game. Like, yeah, it's just for fun. You know, you need to be your normal level of intense in terms of winning this dominoes match in the future, but you can't win. You know?
Well, to be fair, it wasn't that she lost it. She was so far behind, and I still hammered her when I had a shot.
Oh, jeez.
She's like, what the fuck? This
is a lot of, sounds like a lot of latent anger there to me.
It was the game. I had a few drinks.
Yeah. So here's your advice. Don't let her listen to this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now what we should do is we should form, record a fake response to Mike's dilemma that he can play for Stacy.
Okay.
Where it's like, of course you should, you know, Mike, you know, like where we really chastise.
Okay, hold on,
Mike.
We'll do it. Ready?
Okay, start
Five,
it. Read it again.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, that's
so my question is.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, sorry. Sure. Sorry. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So my question is, am I out of line for kicking her ass, or is she being too sensitive? Thanks.
She's absolutely not totally being too sensitive.
Bitch, I thought we were changing it.
It sounds like
right. No, wait, she's I'm totally confused. Being she, too sensitive.
She's being too sensitive. You should
Way
have ducked on her.
Sensitive.
Very good.
That's nice not job. A big deal. Oh, no,
see, I thought we were
just relax.
Okay, all right.
I thought we were going to record a version.
Fuck this up.
I thought we were going to record a version where we set this listener straight and give Mike the opportunity to go back to Stacy and be like, "Honey, I was wrong. You know, I asked my friends incognito about what happened over the weekend, and they helped me understand my error of my ways, and I won't let that happen again. I'm really sorry."
And then he's getting a man for makeup sex.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now let's start it again, Tim. Count
okay,
down
all right,
five,
ready?
Please.
So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So my question is, am I out of line for kicking her ass, or is she being too sensitive?
You know, I hate, this is a perfect example of toxic masculinity. You know,
right.
I hate
it
that.
It is. That's exactly what I was thinking.
I hate toxic masculinity. Yes, pal, of course you were wrong. You ever heard of being a gentleman?
Yeah. No. Now, go give your wife a hug that she deserves for being the light of your life.
There's no victory worth hurting the woman that you love. That's my
opinion. You guys are a team. You're not adversaries. Come on.
Happy wife, happy life.
Happy wife, happy life. Just keep repeating that to yourself.
What kind of depraved individual wrote this question? I bet he's like I bet he's pretty angry because he's balding. I mean, let's be honest.
A real
you know what I mean?
It's really
he's really got like an illogical amount of hair above his eyebrow, above his eyes, but yet not on his head. Yeah, not on his head. Like, it's like, I can understand why this guy is like enraged and wanting to prove something, but not to your
hair
wife.
In his
she
skin.
Chose you when nobody else wanted you, for God's sake.
He has more hair in his ears than on his head. Yeah,
probably.
Right.
You know they have products for that.
Yeah.
Oh, I trim. I mean, that person probably trims on a regular basis.
Yeah. Speaking of trimmers, I bought this little portable nose hair trimmer that's been really
helpful. Oh, he uses that in his ear sometimes too.
Yeah.
No, I need industrial strength and size. Way too small.
Are you ready to cut a few?
Okay. Okay.
So
I just threw up in my mouth.
Clean as a whistle.
His nose hairs are no more.
Clean as a whistle.
Looking good.
Dude, you actually heard the hairs being cut.
I know.
Disgusting. I thought there was a spider coming out of your nose, but now you look great.
Ah, clean as a whistle. Anyway. Yeah, so this guy, what a bore. What a crashing bore that fellow was.
Yeah, I hope he's learned the error of his ways.
Whoever this guy is, he should get down on his hands and knees and beg forgiveness of his beautiful wife and do whatever it takes to make things right. Oh, Tim just left.
He was frozen for a while.
Oral.
He heard Tammy opening up the oven and she didn't declare that she had oven mitts on.
He was sharpening knives. He got nervous.
He makes her declare audibly that she's wearing oven mitts. I'm opening up the oven door and I have oven mitts on, Tim.
Put the box of wine down.
Yeah. Oven mitts on. Opening oven. Pizza coming out. You don't have to come in here, Tim. I'm perfectly capable.
Where the fuck did he go? Now we're going to have to figure out. Jesus Christ.
I bet he joined your podcast.
You want to hear something fun? Yeah. Now, I'll have to stop talking about it if Tim returns. So we were talking about that his Florida friends picnic.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
And I can't go into great detail, but he said to me, he's like, you have an open invitation for this thing.
Yeah. And I heard him say it.
So we're going to stop talking about it. But then next year, Katie and I are just going to show up to his house on July 4th without telling him.
You know, we're still recording right now.
Oh, whoops. What?
Still gonna hear this.
Oops.
He doesn't even edit this.
Katie,
part. He's like, fuck it.
Well, this will be like testing him to see if he actually.
Looks. He just scrolls to the end and then puts the closing music.
Yeah, if he's not on it, like this part of the show, he's gonna scroll right past. He's not interested.
Yeah, so we'll have to disclose our true plans at another time.
Huh? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, or maybe we just did this intentionally to make him.
Just to throw him off.
He's going to be worried all the way till next 4th of
July. Yeah.
Are you texting him?
No. Checking my baseball scores.
He's pulling up a song.
Checking my baseball scores.
Checking my baseball scores.
Tim, where the fuck are you?
Oh, you texted. Oh, I was just going to
take a lot of love.
Tim.
Change the way things are.
Lost power. Trying to join by phone. Holy
fuck. This guy. What a boy. Tim's come up with some lame excuses lately.
Lost power. Does that mean Tammy took control?
Yeah. Do you notice Tim's subtle efforts have the to hand. Just skip this week's episode entirely? Like, oh, we could just not record if that's what everybody wants.
Lost power. Wow. But he's not on a laptop with a battery? Sounds like a load of bullshit to me. Oh, wait, exactly. His modem. Damn it. Have to set up a hotspot. It'd be sketchy, intermittent.
Oh, wait.
There you go. There you go.
That's pretty good.
Is this Michael McDonald or the Doobie Brothers?
Yeah, it's Michael McDonald solo. It's my favorite of his solo
amazing.
Songs. Yeah, he did sound good. I have to feel like he's throwing his boys and the Doobie Brothers a bone, like touring with them. He doesn't need to tour with those guys.
Man.
That was awesome, though.
It was crazy. Was it? Maybe
Michael McDonald. I hate all the Michael McDonald Doobie Brothers stuff.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah,
I wasn't a fan.
I love Michael McDonald. Sorry,
I like it. I mean, What a Fool Believes. I mean, it changed the band.
Yeah, What a Fool Believes is all right.
He's a great, you know. And Katie and I were driving home talking about Michael McDonald. He's a phenomenal. He's a great voice, very unique. But he's also been on so many tracks as
a studio singer. Studio singer.
And I'm glad we remember this. Like, so he's hey. You know. Oh, honey.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. So he was on Christopher Cross, you know, Ride Like the Wind.
Yeah.
You know, and that he was very clearly on that. But the song that I didn't realize that he's a background singer on is Peg by the Doobie Brothers.
Steely
Dan.
Steely Dan. Yeah. When you listen to it, it's like, oh, yeah, I can hear his voice back in there.
Totally hear his voice.
You know? And that's my favorite.
Did we talk about
Steely Dan song?
Mick Jagger sang back up on "You're So Vain" by Carly Simon.
Yeah,
we talked about that here. Yeah. That's fucking crazy. When you hear that, when you know, when you're like,
you're
oh yeah,
so
that's
vain. Well, yeah, they were part of that.
So
like,
vain.
That's whole, fucking... New York, the Hamptons crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, there was a rumor that she wrote it about Mick Jagger. You know, but it was like she didn't write that
about like.
Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty, right? Yeah.
There was a rumor like it was about Mick Jagger, and I was like, she didn't write about Mick Jagger. He sings on the fucking song. You know, why would he sing on that song?
Yeah.
You know? So Mick Fleetwood sang in his Stevie Nicks songs. She trashed him.
I was going to try to get the Monty Python fade out and just like play that at the end.
Yeah.
And then we could leave.
Hey, we can't go until so Tim some... like.
Katie
upload,
text
right?
Tim and say, should we just call that the show? And Tim, you'll take care of the rest.
Can he upload if we just close out?
I don't know.
We should just say we're hanging up. Is that cool?
Well, let's ask. Let's see what he needs us to do.
Is that cool?
That cool.
I love you. It's my favorite Steely Dan.
Yeah, it's good, too.
Blueprint Blue.
Dude, just wrap it up, Tim. What the fuck do we do?
Yeah. Well, let's but call. I know we can't hang up. We got to leave the computers going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll just leave. Log back on and he can finish.
Okay, now it's all listen from Michael McDonald, guys.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, that's Michael McDonald for sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Tim just wrote. What do you
want? Yeah. Not sure about that one. Okay.
Well, okay, listen, I'll do this. I'll drop off. No, wait.
But don't hang up. You're not.
No, you can't hang up.
No, I can't hang up. Who stops it?
Tim.
Let me call Tim.
Tim.
Yeah. Once he gets back on. Well, if he can get back on.
Record.
What do you think we should do, Tim?
I don't know. I guess we just hang up, and I may need you guys to reopen the app tomorrow.
Okay.
This is great. This is fucking great radio. Sitting here in the darkness.
Just go ahead and hang up. Hopefully, I can.
Is the whole house dark?
Be in Utah tomorrow night, so I should be able.
He's making it all up, Bert. His house.
He could be. I mean, there's no power in the house, and Tammy's there, and the knife drawer is accessible.
Yeah. Oh, are you still there?
Yeah. Oh, so he's pretending like he can't hear us.
He can't hear us.
Weird. Everything's acting weird. Oh, here we go. just go ahead and hang up, and then okay. I may need you guys to open back up.
Okay,
tomorrow.
Guys, hang up, and he may need
all
us
right.
to open back
goodbye,
up tomorrow.
Beautiful
okay,
people.
Good night, good night,
thanks,
beautiful
everyone.
People.
Have a good night.
Great job. I'll talk
bye.
To you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys.
All right, I guess that's it.
It's a Tim problem now.
Yeah.
Bye, have guys. A great week.
Good night.
You too.
I was sitting in that cozy cabin. Friends all around a game of dominoes. We were laughing, drinking, having a good time until I played that fun show. I won the game, but lost it all. That victory broke my downfall. Friends turned foes, and the love I had turned to anger. Now life's so sad. I won the game, but lost my way. Now I'm paying for that fateful day. I was smiling till I stood up cheering. Raised my arms, thought I'd struck gold. But her eyes turned cold and the room went silent. Now my story's getting told. I won the game but lost it all. That victory brought my downfall. Friends turned foes and the love I had turned to anger. Now life's so sad. I won the game but lost my way. Now I'm paying for that fateful day. I'm driving down this lonely highway, thinking about the friends I had. If I could take it back, I'd never win that game. I'd rather be happy than feel this bad. I won the game, but lost it all. That victory brought my downfall. Friends turned foes, and the love I had turned to anger. Now life's so sad. I won the game, but lost my way. Now I'm paying for that fateful day. So if you're playing dominoes with friends tonight, remember my tale of woe. Sometimes it's better to lose and keep your love than to win and watch it go.